we just like to have a little bit like but yeah Mika is like she's kind of like the trans elder.
Why are you telling everyone I'm trans?
I'm trying to hide that shit.
Why are you telling people I'm trans?
God damn it.
Yeah, I was talking to the girl from New York, and she was just like, she's like, you know, I respect whatever, you know, I was like, yeah, what's up there? And I get called Daniel left and right, and she's like, you know what, I respect whatever, you know, whatever you feel like you are. And I was like, even if I talk like this? And she's the sweetest, so, and her name's Bree, so.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice. Bree St. Joseph.
Bree St. Marty.
Oh my god. Put that together and makes a Jesus.
Yeah. Well, it's, yeah, we had somebody on. We had a person on the podcast who I looked up to. It was like one of the first people that I think it was maybe Tori that like I was like, I took a lot of my inspiration off of her, and she came on and told Mika that she took all of her inspiration off of Mika, and that way Mika is my grand inspiration. Yeah. So
there you have it.
Even though I'm old and Mika's not. Well, you know, Mika's old. Just kidding.
I'm very old.
You're very old.
We're all old.
And I'm going through a midlife crisis, apparently. So.
Yeah.
See, I'm through a quarter-life crisis.
I'm waiting on mine.
An ongoing.
Yeah, that's just, I live in crisis, so there you go.
Right.
It's just a life crisis. Yeah.
So in the last couple of days, I got my lips redone, and I got my hair dyed.
Let's see, come close.
Oh, they're still swollen and really dry.
Hold on, let me move. Okay, perfect. They look pretty. They look really pretty.
Yeah. Damn.
Now when I suck a dick, it's gonna look so sexy. Like that.
Damn. There's your cold open.
No, well actually what I really want to do for the cold open is take Dexter down.
That'd be awesome, imagine.
Absolutely. No, it's happening.
We got told on one of the comments on one of our YouTube shorts was get Dexter before those guys get him. And I was just like, thanks.
Someone said that?
Somebody said that.
Yeah, the comments on the YouTube shorts were really shitty, so I just turned them off.
Oh, I like reading crappy comments.
I mean,
they're such an inspiration.
Yeah, but when they're all the same, you know.
Sometimes they inspire you, like, out of spite.
Yeah. Y'all need therapy. Y'all just a bunch of bros.
These ones weren't the good ones. Like, y'all know y'all are guys, right? And it's like, what?
Shut the fuck up.
I feel like they're also, like, so unoriginal most of the time. It's like, copy and paste.
Yeah, they all say the same shit.
Well, I always got like, they're like, you know, you're a man, right? I'm like, one of us has to be, you little bitch.
Somebody has to wear pants.
They just want attention. The best thing is to not feed the trolls, because once you acknowledge them, that's exactly what they want, and then they just get bigger and stronger, and they keep going.
Yeah, or it's like Chappelle when he's like, "Gotcha, bitch."
Or you murder them, and then they won't get bigger. That's how murdering works.
Also true.
You hit record way too soon. Now that's on tape.
We also got your mic deep on tape, so.
This is going to be the longest cold open ever.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, parents and teachers, and principals and chefs and
what about trans women
walkers.
And trans men?
I don't talk to trans women or trans men. Just kidding. We're here for everybody. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Girl Dad Girls podcast. My name is Michaela Garcia. Back with me, as always, is Bree St. Marie and that QT Danny B and our very special guest, Miss Cleo Corain.
Oh,
hi Cleo.
Oh,
hi,
wow.
Ladies. Hi there.
Wow, she's
Thank
cute.
You for having me.
Oh my goodness.
She's kind of cute.
This is my first podcast, like, ever, so.
Really?
Ooh, yeah. Nice. Cherry.
Yeah. Stuck at other podcasts. We got our first.
Yeah.
Well, just a heads up, since it's your first podcast, on this podcast, we don't talk about politics or religion, and we don't fucking cuss. Okay?
Fucking right.
I'm just kidding. You can do whatever you want. We don't care.
And we and we always shy away from our dead names.
Yep.
Definitely.
Except for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You guys snapped.
Wait, do you know what a dead name is, Cleo?
What?
Do you know what a dead name is?
Yeah, yeah, it's like your previous name, right? Before before transition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you trans?
There it is.
Another
one.
Oh my god, everyone, that's so awesome.
Yeah. I know, we just all randomly happen to be trans, isn't that?
I don't know how it always happens, but it seems to work out. So that's really cool. Welcome to the show.
I wanted to start a podcast called Girl Dad Girls for, you know, girl dads, and apparently these two showed up, and
have we even talked to a dad yet?
No,
Mika is on tonight. Cleo,
excuse me, Danny. Sorry, host. I want the opening question. Is that
sorry,
okay?
Sorry, host.
Thank you, Cleo. I heard you were on 90 Day Fiance.
That's right.
How was Jeff Probst? Was he really cool? Did you find an immunity idol? Did you kick anyone off the island? How was that whole thing?
I mean, how was the experience overall?
Yeah.
Mika's on.
I mean, I didn't really meet anybody aside from my ex. So he's the only person that I got to meet.
Oh, out Jeff Probst wasn't there? I'm just kidding. I'm confusing 90 Day Fiancé with Survivor. So I'm totally just playing with you. I'm sorry.
Well, it would just fly right above my head like autism moments.
So 90 Day Fiancé, what is that? Tell us about that.
Oh, I mean, it's this show where these couples go, and normally they're really, like, functional. like really perfect. And there's never any problem or issues whatsoever. Yeah.
That's what I mean, you seem about. Pretty perfect.
Yeah.
It's
like a smooth...
Yeah. Hey, Claire, already. How you doing?
Already?
I have to admit, I've never seen that show. Is it like, do you go on a show with your own fiancé?
Like, are you like serious? Like, you've never seen it before?
I've never seen it.
I haven't either.
Do you go on with your own fiancé? Like, or do they like assign you a fiancé?
So, like, I had actually not seen it before, but I only saw like a few like videos on YouTube. But it's basically like, you go on that show like with somebody that you're actually dating. So like, it's not like one of those shows where you just like get paired up with somebody, or, you know, there's a bunch of people in a house or an island or whatever. No, you know, a couple, like a real couple, goes on the show. And normally this couple is intending to potentially getting engaged at some point, because that's the only way that they can actually live together, considering that, you know, it's people that don't live in the same country.
Wait,
that makes sense?
Is this, wait, hang on, are you pulling the curtain back and revealing the wizard? Like, because I thought a 90 Day Fiancé for me personally was like, yeah, these people don't know each other, and then, but
really?
Yeah.
I thought it was like a mail-ordered fiancé, and it's like a 90 Day trial
to
see how it works out being engaged.
Oh my god, like, no, it's not like that. Like, not that I knew a lot about it, so... Basically, it was totally like one of the two people has to sign up, like, and my ex signed us up, and then he told me, and then basically it was like I just found out like the next day, and I was, you know, yeah. So like, and then after that, they contacted us, and they were like, yeah, we're really interested, and so that's how it works. But like, you know, we could have known each other for as long as we wanted, like, you know, as in. Even if we knew each other for like 2 years in the past, they would have still been okay with that. Like, it doesn't matter. I guess some people might have just recently met, and others not.
Did you have to pretend like you had just met there?
Not that at all. No, it was like they were just honest about when we met and everything.
Oh, did you win the show?
Well, the only like trophy you could get is your relationship to Outlast. The show, so I guess I didn't.
Like, no, she didn't come out with a trophy. You're like, whoa.
I did not come out with a trophy.
Like Squid Game, but like.
Not from the show.
Squid Games.
From the relationship.
90 Days of Squid.
It's like, so were you on for an episode, or was it like a whole season type of thing?
No, it was a whole season. It was like, I think it was like, I don't actually even know, but like, I think it was around like 12 episodes, I want to say. Something like that.
Damn. Cool.
What is it like, because you record for a couple hours a day for an episode?
It's pretty much a day thing. Like, you film for the day.
And but if you're only doing, so it was only for like 12 days. So like, how long were you out there? Were you just hanging out in between?
I mean, as the end, it was pretty much like we were filmed like throughout the day.
Yeah.
So like we weren't like, I mean, I'm not sure, like, as in we pretty much were filmed the whole day.
Oh, just the entire time.
So do you just act natural and there's a camera crew there the whole time, or are they just like, let's sit over here because it looks more romantic, let me set up our lighting, like give us a few minutes to adjust and then we'll start recording?
It's pretty like, obviously, you know, places and everything needs to be okay with the cameras, like it needs to work, but other than that, it's like they just film you. They don't does not scripts or anything like that. Like, they just film your YouTube basically, and then it's, you know, up to the person, you know, how much they want to talk about themselves or, you know, get personal.
Were any of the other runners up cute that you could be like, hey, by the way, you got second, I got third, we're single.
Any of the other guys that were on the show?
Yeah, like, I mean, like, because you said, I guess, well, yeah, I guess everybody can win technically, because no, you don't have to like break the other couple up. It's like,
right? Yeah.
We can't all get out of here. We still gotta end it all. But did you meet any? Like, you didn't meet anybody else that was like interesting that you kept in touch with?
I do keep in touch with some people, mostly Statler and Jasmine from my season, but I haven't met them in person. I only got to meet them when we did like a studio recording and I wasn't on site. So I only got to meet them like remotely, like you guys.
Yeah.
That's so cool though.
That's awesome. Is cool. Was it around like a trans, or were you the only one that was trans on the show?
I was the first ever trans person on the show. Yeah. Like, there hadn't been a trans person before me. After me, Nikki is, you know, right, you know, is there right now. She's been really supportive. She's another person I met through the show, and it's been really supportive towards me. But obviously she wasn't part of my season. She was the following season of another like section of the show. Sorry, what was the question?
Oh, no, just basically, like, I didn't know if this was, like, a special, like, they were like, we're just gonna branch out and, like, see if we can do, you know, because some people want to do, like, an entire, like, episode just on trans men and trans women, and...
No, it was, like, I think for this specific show, it's, like, it really is up to the couple, so, like, they would just, like, take some couples on, and then, you know, in our case, obviously, I happen to be trans, and therefore it was the first trans person on the show, but it was totally like random, if that makes sense. And so there wasn't any other trans people there. And you only get to spend time with your partner. You don't really get to meet any of the other people. You just filmed for like a set amount of days spending time with your partner.
Wait. There wasn't like one or two like cute boom arm guys. I mean, those guys are holding that boom for a long, they're gonna be like ripped, right? There weren't any cute ones that were like...
Now when you say boom, what are you talking about?
Boom.
Boom mic. Boom,
boom. Oh, boom mic. Oh,
what does it mean?
A boom mic? It's like the one that hangs over.
It's the long,
like,
one on a stick that they put over your head.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, it's basically these people are like holding this heavy microphone up forever, and they gotta have, like, they gotta be ripped, and they must have intimate knowledge of you.
Hold on. Are you talking about the people that were there, like at the end, the runners and the people that were on set, if there was anyone cute there?
Yeah, the filming crew.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I think there was somebody that's really cute, but like they're not they're not straight, but they look really cute, and I love them so much. They're like a really nice person, but they look really like good looking, and I always tell them. But yeah,
really,
I always thought the gaffer on the film crew had a funny name. It's like, what's their job? Do they just talk all day?
Yeah.
You made it off the show. Y'all didn't break up on the show.
No, we didn't break up the show. There was obviously still drama. There was plenty of drama, but we stayed together. And at least I thought everything was fine. For most of the time, I guess, on and off, like there was signs that maybe it wasn't, but I don't know. I chose to be the Lulu. The Lulu is the Sululu in this case.
He sounds like an idiot. So, because you are wonderful. So
I'm a little, I do have a question because I kind of watched one of the follow-up videos for you two on YouTube. And there was a little bit of, misunderstanding of when the question came up of did you two hook up, and you were like yes, and he's like no.
Oh my god, you guys, that was so weird. Like that was insanely weird to me.
Yeah, he's like refuting it, like no, that
because
didn't happen.
the weirdest part is that it was really like not necessarily like, and it was like kind of like a non-issue because every single couple on the show gets ask that question. Like it's mm-hmm. like if you've watched any other previous, it's like a standard thing. So it was really not a non-issue, but for some reason there was so much back and forth from him, and I was so confused. And the last thing is that I had to go ahead and say it, and so I said okay, and then I did, and then suddenly he was like, it's nobody's business. Nobody needs to know. And I was like, you just told me that. And then, and I was like, what is going on? It was really, that was the first thing that I should have walked the hell out. Cause not because it was such a major thing, but it was strange. And I kind of should have,
I just, I've been asked out by guys, and then when they want to hook up, and then when I'm like, no, let's go get dinner first, they're like, I don't know if I may be too embarrassed to be seen with a trans person. And I was like, you know what, I am embarrassed all the time because people are always staring at me. I'm gonna be embarrassed to be with a giant pansy like you. So
so are we getting dinner or no?
Yeah, so
yes, like, or no right now
you.
Yeah, I mean, like these guys, they don't they think that they're like, it's all about their just toxic masculinity, and they're like, oh, I don't want to be seen with like as anything other than
like
a feral.
I don't want to be seen as like not straight.
Yeah, wait, does it make me gay? If, and it's like do I look like a dude? I mean, I know I sound like one, but
you're like not a woman, right?
Oh yeah, that was I had a guy tell me, he's like, I need to cancel tonight. Because I've never been on a date with not a woman before, and I was like, "You still haven't, and you won't." So
and you won't. I'm not the one.
Yeah.
Cleo, I know in reality TV shows, there's a lot of editing that happens, and a lot of times they'll take video and they'll make it seem so much different than what actually happened. Did that happen at all in your case on any of your episodes?
I have to be honest. Not really. I watched the show and I was like, this is like very accurate. And like, I think it really depends. Okay. There's obviously like not everything makes it because it's just like they film like for certain, you know, obviously that you film throughout the day and, you know, obviously you have to make like, I think it's like 15 minutes per couple each episode. So obviously they can't fit everything. But in terms of like a representation of like our personalities and, you know, the way we were behaving or stuff like that, it was pretty fairly accurate. And like, I feel that it was a really kind of honest kind of representation. Then that doesn't mean I don't really know about all the other couples and how they feel. But definitely within our couple, I feel it was pretty honest.
Do you think if you had been like, you know, hanging out in the kitchen or whatever.
It was maybe just like the there was one part like it seemed like I was more stressed about whether he liked me or not, like just, but not just because of the amount of time that was repeated.
But the guy who brought you on the show. It's like, yeah.
But also, like, I guess I had valid reasons to, like, because of the back and forth and everything. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I wasn't really, I didn't think he didn't like me because, you know, he was really forward. So, like, I think it was more like a in front of the camera thing.
Yeah. I mean,
where he was like different.
I mean, I don't know if y'all noticed, but I act a little differently when I'm on this camera. One thing I did want to ask is, if you'd been like hanging out in the kitchen with your significant other and been like, you know what, let's go have sex. Would they just like all the camera crew just swarm on you and be like, we got to film this?
Well, that's like very hypothetical because it did not happen like that. I mean, that would be like, you know, seriously need to be paid a lot for that.
Well, I know, like, with, you know, when they used to do, like, the Real World and stuff like that, like, they would always film them, like, I mean, it was creepy. Security camera.
I think they would probably love that. It would cut part out. They would cut parts out, but, like, you know,
like, that's maybe for the introduction.
Maybe just the introduction to whatever's happening would make it, and the rest will be, you know, cut for decency like, purposes on national television. But
90-day OnlyFans fiancé.
Yeah, exactly.
I've always wanted to know, with reality TV shows, when they cut to a commercial, like, what do you guys do during that time?
Stop.
Oh, that was like, it's like, what do you mean? It's like not live.
Oh. Oh, I guess I'm confusing it again.
It's Big Brother.
I was like, are you in the middle of like a dinner date? And then they're like, okay, we got to go to commercial. And then you're just like, pause.
No. It's like
45 seconds. And then when you come back,
it's like, damn it, Danny.
You picked a really poor position to hold. This is a long one.
Okay. Would you do it again? And if so, who would you do it with?
I would. At this present point, I would not. I would certainly not do it with him.
Oh yeah, well, he's a ding dong.
If I was to do it with anyone else, I generally okay. So the thing about me, like I am, like my I'm kind of like I'm demisexual. Like I'm only attracted to like one person at a time, which is incredibly annoying. Like it's incredibly annoying. Like it's really annoying. And therefore like. There's nobody else, like, I still think it's so weird, like, even though everything that happened, I can't find myself attracted to anyone else. Like, it's gonna take a while before I'm able to. So, I really wouldn't know who else. I mean, maybe I should, like, think of some actors, but my working memory is, like, pretty poor, so I wouldn't be able to, like, just think of any actor's name, you know, top of my head.
Yeah, just think on it, you know, I mean, it's cool, whatever.
What was that actor in the, 90 Shades of Grey, the Irish guy. He's pretty hot.
Vin Diesel.
Danielle right. Breyer?
Is it?
What? Oh, I don't know. I'm not.
No!
Mika!
What?
Mika, come on, you're not playing it. You're not playing the music.
Liam Neeson.
Ooh! Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Liam Neeson can take in me anytime he wants.
my gosh.
So Cleo, how long have you been transitioning?
A long time, like a half a century, literally, like, well, not like
50 years,
15.
You look great.
Like how long is a century?
Maybe no. Hold on. I think it's more like medically transitioning. It's probably around, in terms of hormones, probably around 11 years. I want to say 11 years. I could be wrong, but I think it's around 11 years.
You make Mika even look like a noob.
Wow. I've only been doing it for 7 years.
I've only been on like estrogens for most of the time and then on T blockers, and that's all I've been on. So I know some people get on progesterone, but they don't really prescribe it in England, so
You're in
I've
England.
Been on that for a long time.
That's right. I knew this. I knew you were
Have you had any procedures or operations?
No, I obviously had lip fillers, you know, not kidding ourselves. My lips were pretty big to start with, but I had like a little top up. But I haven't had any feminizing procedures, like nowhere in my body or face, and obviously that's kind of annoying because I would love to, but like I was never able
kind
to.
Kind of annoying. That's like, you look great. I don't even think you need anything.
But it's all
my hairline is like the size of Russia, so I probably would need to have that resized at some point.
You're talking to the USSR right here.
Mine is more on the sides. It's like, you know, like
war Russia right here.
Mine is more like Vegeta, like whatever. Like it's like a V kind of shape.
Like 9,000.
Well, like I hate my Adam's apple. Like it's like also like I have this weird curse that like every time I date somebody, they have no Adam's apple. Like I have never dated a guy that had an Adam's apple.
I don't have one.
Like and I feel like I'm the one with the bigger Adam's apple. Like this is really annoying. Like I hate that.
I mean, when I used to date guys, I was always the one with the bigger penis. So I mean, I kind of get it.
You know. Yeah. You know.
It hits really good in the pride.
No, it's I mean, it is night and day. I mean, like I go back and look at pictures before I did all this stuff.
When it comes to transgender guys, you never know. I might be happier about that.
Yeah.
Oh no, absolutely. Yeah, there were a couple guys in like, LA.
The fetishization is real.
Yeah. It doesn't really assuage a lot of like the imposter syndrome though. Like I was out at a run club yesterday, 2 days ago. I have boobs now. I have my face done. I lost my Adam's apple. They got rid of it. I was walking around and I just kind of looked.
Hold on. Go on.
That's okay.
My phone just like glitched and I don't know. It's okay. I can see you again.
Okay.
You're there.
Okay. But yeah, like I mean, people were coming up and they were like talking to me like they would talk to a girl, you know, like, and I was just like, I felt weird. I was like, why are they talking to me like this? And I was like, oh wait, that's right, I look like this. And it took me a bit to before I was like, oh hi.
That must be like a really, really good feeling. Like
it's
but
weird.
But also like you still have that same imposter syndrome, I guess. Like
it doesn't go away. It doesn't get better. I mean it gets easier to deal with, I guess, and to hide, but it doesn't go away and it's still you know, because you find something else to get. Like I obsess with my voice now. I try to fix it, but it doesn't. I just sound like fucking Mickey Mouse. So you know, you obsess about one. You know, or the way that I was walking to my car and I saw all these dudes walking by and they were like, "Look at that dude!" And I was like, "Yep," because the way I walk, it's fine. But like, you can fix as much as you want. And I always, the one thing I always say is anybody who's listening who says to tell anybody, if you tell somebody they don't need it, then you might as well just shut up because it's not up to you. Like people are like, oh, Danny, you didn't need the surgery. And I was like, it wasn't up to you, stupid. I thought I did.
I feel like sometimes like when people like compliment you, like they compliment a trans person, like, oh, you don't need to have like breasts. Like there's plenty of like cis women that don't have breasts, or you know, you don't need this or that. Like, you know, at the end of the day, like it's whatever your dysphoria is about or whatever makes you feel like whatever is gender affirming and for you and gives you gender euphoria, I think that's what you should go for. And whatever people say, it doesn't really matter because they're not in your body and shouldn't have an opinion on it.
I tell them to suck my dick.
And they do.
So Cleo, you're pretty vocal about your autism. Mm-hmm. I don't know a lot about it. Would you mind like just giving us kind of like this? I mean, how it's affected you? Explain to somebody like that doesn't understand it.
Right. So like autism is a neurodevelopmental disability, meaning that it's not acquired. It's something that people are born with. And it's like a genetic variation that essentially is actually been scientifically proven to be useful to humanity in some ways, because it's a gene that has been selected over and over through generations. So it's never been gotten rid of. But in all, it causes problems with communication, regulation of senses, regulation of emotions, also the ability to read between the lines, taking things literally. People can get sensory overloaded by various things, but there's also different levels of autism. So for example, I'm level one, meaning that I am what is considered low support needs. And then there's level two and level three. And obviously somebody that's on level three will require a lot of support to go through a lot of different activities. Back in the day, there used to be different like syndromes for people that had level one, such as myself, but those have been now sort of eliminated, and it's like all considered as a spectrum, and that presents in various different ways. I hope I said everything, but like obviously it affects me in various ways. Like it affects my communication, especially when I'm for prolonged periods of time with a number of people, or like sometimes when people make jokes, I don't necessarily get them right away unless they're really like properly explained to me. I tend to take words for granted, like, you know, if somebody says something and then they actually mean something else or they behave differently, I just go by what they've said and I take that literally.
Like sarcasm is
sarcasm. I have to really force it. Like I can kind of really force it, but like sometimes I'm not naturally dry and people say, oh my god, you're so funny, and I'm like, I didn't even,
you should,
like,
you should hang out with Mika.
Yeah, can you me. Like I'll take it.
Can you read sarcasm on other people, or is it hard for you to pick up on it?
It's really hard. As a teenager, I never could. Like, I literally never could. Like, people would just be sarcastic to me all the time, and I'd just be like, oh, really? Oh, my God. And it'd be like, like, it was like a recurring joke. And it took me several years to try and recognize the voice intonation that people use when they're sarcastic, and now I've gotten a lot better, but, like, it's not perfect.
So were you diagnosed with autism at a young age, or were you almost...
I was diagnosed with ADHD as a young age, and then I was diagnosed with autism in my 20s.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So the person I'm dating right now, her oldest boy is 8 years old, and he's autistic as well. And it's very frustrating for me, not because he's autistic, but because I just want to communicate with him so bad. But he is nonverbal, and he, it's just hard to communicate with him. I wanna play with him, and I wanna make him happy when he's feeling down. You can tell he gets frustrated and stuff, and it's kind of a hard position to be in because I want to be a support, but I have no idea how to support them. And
I think it's obviously like, I'm not like too qualified in terms of like, I was studying psychology, which I paused and I'm planning to resume. Obviously I'm sure there's people that are way more knowledgeable about how to make sure that a person with, you know, that is nonverbal can be facilitated or made to feel comfortable in certain situations. But I think the thing with autism is like overall, if we get overwhelmed and, you know, there's really not much helping other than letting the person kind of like either, you know, have a little break by themselves, even if it seems frustrating, it seems like you're wasting time or, you know, you're not getting the things done that you needed to do. You can't go where you needed to go. But at the end of the day, if there's a block, if there's like a shutdown, it's pretty much really hard to get out of that place. And oftentimes it's just about your senses or your brain or your emotion kind of calming naturally. I don't think you should feel bad because just because a person with autism doesn't seem like they are necessarily communicating with you a lot, they might still love you or really care about you. I mean, I've had examples where, you know, my mom was here and I was having more shutdowns and I wasn't talking to her because I just was in my autistic shutdown mode, and she just knew, and I just, you know, she knew that I wasn't upset at her or anything, so.
Over the years, because I've known him for almost 5 years now, he used to not communicate almost at all. He would just kind of screech or chirp or yell. He would get very frustrated and he would hurt himself because he had no idea how to communicate. So he would kind of take it out on himself out of frustration. But in just like the last year, I would say his speech has developed so much, and he could speak and he could ask for what he needs, and he's coming around, but.
That's wonderful,
it's pretty cool to see him grow.
That must
like
be
that.
Really beautiful to like see that, you know, he's able to make progress like that.
Yeah, and like you said, you really can see the love, because even if he can't speak to me or say my name, if I reach out and extend my arms, he'll give me a hug. Like, it's really cool.
Yeah, exactly. That's great.
Yeah.
I love that.
I feel like people see it as this like very detrimental, like, it, this is, you know, life-ending kind of
you know, a life sentence kind of thing.
Yeah, and I've met several trans women who you know are out and out with their autism and very vocal about it, and it's really nice to see that y'all are like getting out and showing the world that like you don't have to. It doesn't have to be a death sentence. It doesn't. It's not a death sentence. You know, you can be successful.
I mean, this sounds weird, but like I hate having ADHD way more than I hate being autistic, because yeah. I feel like being autistic is obviously presents certain problems and can be frustrating at times, but it's just the way I feel. It's just the way my brain is wired, whereas ADHD is just really annoying. Like, you know, it's just like really kind of detrimental to what you're trying to achieve, or, you know,
Like
if I could get rid of something, I would get rid of my ADHD.
I, you know, honestly, with mine though, I do find that I can hyper focus though. So like sometimes when I want to, you know, I want to get into somewhere in Modern Warfare Z because Bri and Mika won't play with me. And so I need to solo a mission, and I will hyper focus and look down at 9 o'clock and it will be 1 a.m. And I'm like, how the hell did that happen?
And you're like, what's happened?
Yeah. I don't know how. And I mean, I wouldn't have to, I could be done by like 10:30 if I had people to play with me. Hyper focusing really kind of like it's good and bad, because I can get a lot of work done solo.
It is. Caffeine helps.
But you said caffeine.
Caffeine helps getting you into.
Yeah. So does Adderall.
I do. I do Concerta.
It does.
Yeah. And Wellbutrin, apparently.
I can't sleep though with Adderall. Like it totally gets rid of my ability to sleep, which is so like frustrating.
That's why I take it at like 6 in the morning, and then it's done by 10 at night.
That's bad.
I found that like I couldn't do caffeine. I when I first started on my Concerta methylphenidate, I was drinking probably like 2 or 3 pots of coffee a day with it, and I was awake from about 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
You must have been hype, like, you know, literally jittery.
I was productive for about 15 minutes, and then I was just out, and I cut the coffee out, and now I can play Call of Duty for 5 or 6 hours. So
we love that
solo by myself.
Cutting coffee down. It's yeah.
what's your favorite kind of coffee?
I actually stopped drinking coffee too, but I I just drink like matcha latte.
Ooh, nice. Ooh,
like the green one, the like vanilla syrup, or like just the plain one. Because it's like fairly strong. Like it's like similar to a coffee.
Wow. Do any of you ladies like those boba drinks with like those little gooey
tapioca beads? Tapioca pearls? Yeah.
I hate those things. They're disgusting. I wanted them to be like Tootsie Rolls or something like that, but they were like little soggy like jelly beans. I don't like
them. No, let loose.
First try them.
Yeah. Mika, let loose. Tell us about what you think they really felt like.
They freaking suck.
No, it's just tapioca, but it's a pudding. I had one of those. That was my last coffee drink before I had my face cut open. And then Nicolas Cage my ass. That's awesome. I do have a little bit more lighthearted question if you're down for that.
Sure.
Okay. This is one that I love to ask because it's so much fun. Cleo, what do you think your transition theme song would be?
So I think like,
damn it, she's right on it.
I don't know. Like it's like something that like it would be like hard to just do one song because.
Yeah, that's true.
Like it's like it's more a thing about the vibe, because like I feel like my transition, if I think about my transition, is like probably like several steps or stages. But like just in terms of like vibes, like there's one song that I really love from a band called Black Moth Super Rainbow. It's just like a really like not necessarily
a cool name for a band.
I know that's so cool. And I actually got to speak to the you know, the main guy, like the lead of the band, like on Instagram. Like it was so
crazy. Is he hot?
he's pretty hot. Like, okay. he's pretty hot, I gotta say. But it was just literally I was like fangirly. I was like, oh my god, like your music literally changed my life. And the song is called The Healing Power of Nothing. And it's like a really vibey, like indie rock electro song. And it's like, it's kind of like a love song. And like, yeah, it's just like, I don't know, like it feels about like this healing kind of thing. But at the same time, it's like almost like, doesn't really get better. Like, it's kind of, I love, like, I'm a sad girl. Like, I love sad music and all that. So, like, those lyrics are really chill.
Nice.
That's awesome. We've been asking that question for a while, and it's really nice to see that people have, like, such meaningful songs, you know, things that really touch them. So,
yeah, music is great.
Yeah. It might be, actually, now that I'm thinking about time, is it time for a minute of Mika?
I think it is.
60 seconds.
We have a special thing.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to a Mika Minute. What's up, Danny?
Wow.
Chloe. I love doing the Mika Minute because we talk to so many trans individuals and we talk about so much trans topics and it gets a little stale in my opinion. So I like to ask just some random, more personal questions just to get to know you a little bit more as a person. Is that cool?
Sure.
Okay. Are you ready for these? I totally came up with these
like
5 minutes ago.
All right.
Okay. Question number one. If you were to open a restaurant, what would be your restaurant's name and signature dish?
Oh my god. I know the signature dish, but I don't know the restaurant name. Like,
okay, what's
I'm
the dish?
I'm notoriously bad with, like, naming things at first. Like, it would probably be, like, melanzana parmigiana, which is, like, parmigiana, which is, like, it's like chicken parmigiana, but it's made with aubergines. Like, it's an Italian recipe. And, ooh, I don't know, like, dang. It's, like, a childhood thing. Like, probably my signature dish.
That sounds good. We'll help you come up with a name. What should your name be, ladies?
Bordello. Just
maybe
one
just,
single
maybe
red
over,
light out front.
Maybe aubergine. Maybe it should be called aubergine because it's like aubergine is like eggplant in English. Like I think you guys call it eggplant, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. We do.
Yeah,
it doesn't
yeah,
taste
yeah.
anything like an egg. It tastes a little bit more
right.
like a plant.
Yeah. Maybe we should call it. Maybe we should call it eggplant.
I like it.
Okay. Have the whole egg connotation too, so perfect.
Eggplants. We had a lot of eggplant in LA.
Question number two. This is a long one. You ready?
Okay.
Well, actually, I think this was the longer one. Anyway, okay. Question number two. If you fell into a container of a chemical waste and suddenly develop superpowers, would you use your new superpowers for good or evil? Would you help people or would
universe,
you just help yourself?
Universe nomination.
I knew yeah. it. I knew it. Yeah. You have that vibe. I get that vibe from you.
I love it. That's awesome.
Without hesitation.
How dare you misgender me? What would be the coolest superpower?
But it would create a probably better universe, like a more inclusive universe.
Okay. Aww. Nice. Right.
So there's good to that.
Yeah. You know, I always wanted that superpower. What was the X?
What would you guys? Okay, sorry to interrupt. What superpower would you guys pick? Like, if you could pick a superpower, it could be anything.
The one from X-Men with that woman where she could become anything that she wanted.
Mystique.
Mystique? Yeah. Because it's like I saw like Mystique transform into like a really hot woman. I was like, I want to do that.
That's
it takes a lot longer in real life.
We love that.
My superpower would obviously create world peace because my superpower would give every man and trans woman the exact same length and size penis. Because if everyone was the same, no one would be in competition. Boom,
now
world peace.
Now we would be buying big cars or, you know, projecting.
But it's kind of like that, what was that book where, like, if you were too pretty, you'd wear a mask, and if you were too strong, you'd, like, wear weights, and, you know, you remember that book? I feel like If
it's a book, then no, I don't know.
No,
okay, it's a book. Yeah. so yeah, I figure. No, but it was like if somebody was too pretty, they made them wear an ugly mask, and if they were too strong, they made them wear weights. And I feel like if you were to like do that, then people would be like, "Well, I use it better." And it's like, "Well, now we need to nerf that." Nerfing is a term in Modern Warfare. I know you guys don't know this because you don't play it.
I've actually heard it before, but I'm not too sure I remember what it means.
Nerfing? It's when they weaken something.
Right.
But yeah, so they in Call of Duty, for those who play with me, it's when they make a weapon less powerful. So
I think I remember the connotation actually now that you mention it.
Yeah. So
yeah.
But anyways, ladies, don't you think if everyone had the same penis size, everyone would get along? Because you know Trump is the way he is because he's got a small dick.
A tiny little hand.
Little doll hands.
I kept trying to make it bigger by pulling on it, but it was so tiny.
What would be your superpower, Bree?
Oh, mine sounds stupid now. I'd probably be the chick version of Professor X.
Oh, you want to be in a wheelchair?
No, not that part.
You want to be bald?
Oh. Not that part. Just the mind control part.
Oh, okay. Like Jean Grey.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Perfect.
There you go. Yeah. There's already one of those.
Yeah, there is.
Okay, last question. Cleo. Okay. If you could live in any fictional universe from a book, movie, TV show, or video game, which would you choose? And why?
It would probably be a video game. Like, oh, I mean, I'm a Final Fantasy nerd. I don't know, you might never have heard of that game. Like, it used to be really popular in the 90s. But like, my favorite is like Final Fantasy IX. Is like this really like steampunky, like fantasy kind of medieval, but also like steampunky world. And I just love that vibe. So probably that.
Hmm. Nice. That's a good answer.
That's a good answer.
Wow.
Ladies, you want to take a crack at that one?
You know, honestly, the X-Men, if I could be Mystique. Boom. No, or Harry Potter. I'd go into Harry Potter because everybody's like, everybody hates Harry Potter. And I'd be like, you know what? I'm going to go in and be that trans woman who's fucking cool. So I'd say, J.K. Rowling, you got to write about this shit now, you dumb bitch.
Mm-hmm. So weird.
Yeah. Yeah. But then again, I'm weird too, so it's okay. I actively sport my name around. So anyways, but Bree? Hmm? Brika?
Y'all are probably going to think I need therapy with my answer. Yes.
Because your answer.
The Fallout world.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay.
Dystopian disaster world.
Yeah, because like, it's like walking survival? Around. Yeah, walking around in a big batch of I told you so, and we killed everything. So.
I mean, there's a lot of people that love that game, so.
I have probably 20,000 hours in that game.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's what you're doing instead of playing Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
Like, No.
Comes out.
So ever since college, like Fallout 3, Fallout 4, all the DLCs, like I get lost in that game.
Nice. So RPGs are great.
Yeah. And Skyrim.
Does this make you happy or anxious?
That's so much money.
Is that the currency in the game?
Yeah,
bottle caps. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those are star caps, too. Those will get you a special thing in New Vegas. New Vegas turns you trans, too. So.
Oh, shit. Hey, what?
There's a whole thing about Fallout New Vegas turning you trans.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's a reach, but...
Is it like a conspiracy theory?
There's a mutant in there that is trans. It's like a Nightkin or something, but it's like this massive, muscly mutant guy that's got... it goes by Daisy or something, if I remember correctly. But it's got like a little gardening hat on and like very girly glasses. And they're like, that is what is turning all the kids trans. Like, what?
See, for me, it was the COVID shot.
Oh, yeah. That mixed with some 5G.
Mm-hmm. And being too close to a windmill. All that energy that a windmill puts out.
Yeah. And microwaves.
My fictional universe is Mass Effect. I don't know if anyone's played the Mass Effect video game series. It's kind of like a Star Trek-y, Star Wars-y.
I'm familiar. Like, I mean, I haven't played it, but I know what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that universe. I think that'd be really cool. Also, I think it would make a really good, like, TV show. I think we need to get on it. Come on, BioWare.
Okay, fair enough.
Oh, anyway, that's been Mika's 10-minute minute. So thank you, Chloe, for participating in that.
Thank you.
You made it through. Okay, it.
Wait, you're not going to play the outro?
I don't know. We're going to have the outro.
Okay. Well, that brings me to my question.
We like to go in round robin sort of approach.
Now, if you had anybody that you knew that you wanted to see on this show, who would you pick?
So I have a friend, Junior. They're non-binary, and I really love them. So potentially them, but also I don't know. Like I was thinking, like maybe a couple. I mean, they and their partner, they're both non-binary and they're really cool. They're just going to be on a documentary here in England fairly soon from my modeling agency. And I think they're pretty cool people and, you know, they're really nice. So maybe I'll nominate them.
What are their names?
Junior and Y. Okay. Junior and Y.
Junior and Y. Okay. All awesome. Right.
Yes.
Cool. We'll hit them up.
Cool. That's awesome. Well, cool. I guess we've been doing this for a bit. We should probably do some closing thoughts. What do y'all think? You think about? I think so. Yes, we're gonna do that. Anyways, good contribution, everybody. So Cleo, it's been so awesome to get to talk to you. It's great to hear about your the media stuff. But I really enjoyed hearing you talk about just dealing with autism and how you're showing off that you can be a really successful person. And I mean, you're a stunningly beautiful person inside and out. So
thank you.
But keep on doing what you're doing, because you're killing it. So
thank you. And I'm just gonna say, like, it's so nice to be here. Thank you for having me. Like, it's really therapeutic, and you know, just being with the community, especially after, you know, everything like this last few days. So I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Sure. Absolutely. Brika?
Yeah, Chloe, thank you so much for being here. You're such a sweetheart. I'm sorry you didn't win 90 Day Fiance, but hopefully if they do a 91 Day Fiance, they'll invite you back.
Yeah.
Chloe, if you need a better partner, just hit me up.
Yep, there it is.
There it is.
There it is. And Dexter's trans, by the way, everybody who's listening to this.
Oh, everybody knows that. He does not need saving, by the way.
Can we just make that into a YouTube short? Dexter's trans, everybody.
Yeah. It's done. Cut it. Cleo, thank you so much for coming. I think you were probably in the first 10 people that I've followed when I first came out. So it's been really fun to watch you and everything that you've done. You've been an absolute delight on here. And
thank you.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Honestly, I'm so happy that we connected. And I just really grateful. And honestly, it's like really what I needed right now. So it was great timing. And yeah.
And I've been going through some rough shit, so we'll pull you out of it.
Yeah. Well, well, awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on again. And for those who are listening, if you don't subscribe to our Patreon, this is where we're going to leave you, and we'll see you next week. But if you do subscribe to our Patreon, stick around, because it's going to get really fun. We're going to explain why Dexter is trans.
Cleo, are you willing to get naked with us in the after hours?
Maybe not naked, but I can wear something sultry.
Ooh. Oh, okay. Sultry.
We'll take it.
You know, honestly,
a word? Like, because obviously, like me being Italian, I do make up my words sometimes. Like,
sultry. So good.
Is that a word?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Describes me perfectly.
If that doesn't get some more subscriptions, I don't know what will. But anyway. Cleo, real quick, how do people find you who want to find you on the internet? What do they search for? What's your Instagram?
Oh, my user, stereotypical_Cleo. But also, like, I think, like, if you just Google my name, my Instagram will pop up. But also, like, yeah, stereotypical Cleo on TikTok, Instagram, pretty much all my social media, like, is the same username. So
nice.
Makes it well, easy.
We'll put that in big bold letters. Awesome. Well, thanks everybody for listening for Girl Dad Girls. I am that QT Danny B.
I'm Micaela Garcia.
I am Bree St. Marie.
And Cleo, thank you so much. We will see everybody in the after hours.
Let's go get naked.
Yay.
This has been a production of Girl Dad Girls Podcast. Check out new episodes every Thursday. If you're interested in knowing more, please email info@girldadgirls.com or find us on Instagram @girldadgirls. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe.